Josh Bell hates everything.
That's right, including your movie.
Josh Bell hates everything.
Except me.
Hello and welcome to the Josh Bell Hates Everything podcast. I'm Josh Bell, contributing editor and film critic for Las Vegas Weekly. And joining me this week is Brian Black. Thank you for being here. Hi. Thanks. How are you?
I'm doing all right.
Excellent. Good to hear. So the big release this week that actually opened on Wednesday is Public Enemies, Michael Mann's new film with Johnny Depp and Christian Bale. Johnny Depp playing John Dillinger, the famous gangster bank robber of the Depression era, and Christian Bale as Melvin Purvis, the very dorkily named FBI agent who tracked him down. And I have to say, I was looking forward to this movie quite possibly more than any other movie this summer.
Why?
So because I really love Michael Mann. I love Heat and The Insider and Collateral. I just think he's made a lot of really great crime thriller movies that are also very serious, dramatic, good character work. And from the previews for this, I thought this looked like a good return to the great films that he's done. I mean, his last movie was Miami Vice a few years ago, which I actually kind of liked, but a lot of people did not. And I certainly didn't think it was among his best work.
Well, because of the Colin Farrell effect.
Well, right over there, you hate Colin Farrell.
I hate Colin Farrell. How he's been in a couple of good movies, but they were good in spite of him. He probably dragged Miami Vice.
I thought he was fine, actually. I don't have a strong opinion on him either way.
Right.
But
he does all of his acting with his eyebrows, and
that's
just
true.
Annoying.
He does do that. He's been kind of awful in some stuff. I can't think of anything offhand right now, but I remember seeing him in certain movies and things. That movie In Bruges that came out last year that everyone loved,
really good.
And I didn't like it, and I thought he was very ineffective in it. And I was definitely the minority on that. But anyway, so Miami Vice kind of disappointing. Daredevil. Oh, as Bullseye, right?
Yes,
with the thing
terrible.
On his
terrible. Yeah. I mean, just a bad movie.
That movie had a lot of problems, too.
That was the perfect storm of bad, because it also had Ben Affleck.
Oh, right, who you also hate. Wow.
I had this little minivan in my mind that I picture plunging off of a cliff on fire.
With Ben Affleck.
Ben Affleck and Colin Farrell and, you know, occasionally some other people in it.
See, I don't mind. Ben Affleck, I think, is actually fairly decent. He's a good director. He made Gone Baby Gone, which I thought was a very good movie.
All right.
He's not in it.
Maybe
but
he should stay behind the camera.
I think that might work for him. But he was also in State of Play recently, and I thought he did a fairly decent job in that. So I'm okay with him. But Miami Vice, you know, not the greatest. But this one, I just felt like it played right into his wheelhouse, Michael Mann. It really played to all his strengths, and I was really looking forward to it. And then I have to say I was disappointed. I liked a lot of things about it, but overall, I think it's a frustrating movie.
I was very ambivalent about this
movie.
When I saw it, I kind of had the feeling that I would like it a lot more 24 hours later. I always try to do that. I form an initial opinion, then I form the opinion that I would have after I've thought about it. The thing about this movie was that a lot of cool things happen in it, and the set design is perfect. The authenticity of the period is, in fact, I did a little bit of reading on this. The jail that they break out of, there's a jailbreak in it.
Yeah.
That's the actual jail that he broke out of. The street where Dillinger gets shot is not a set. It's the actual street that he got shot on. And that's where everything is just strikingly authentic. All the clothes look exactly right. It's very cool. Lots of Tommy guns, lots of, you know, cool action, but realistic action for the time period of what they were doing. But nothing really that interesting happens with the people.
Yeah, that was definitely, I think, one of the most frustrating things for me.
It's almost like a documentary in a way.
But I think a documentary would have given you maybe a little more insight and background in a way. I mean, I agree. I think that's the most frustrating thing is that you never get to know these people as people. It's like sort of historic, here this happened and then this happened. And there's some exciting, there's some really good shootouts and showdowns between between the cops and Dillinger's gang. And that last sequence where Dillinger gets shot, I thought was really well done. The way he builds the suspense, and Dillinger and these two women, they're in a theater, they're watching this old Clark Gable movie, and kind of intercutting with that and how it relates to Dillinger's life.
And then Dillinger got shot?
Spoiler alert there for something that happened 75 years ago.
Wow.
So I mean, I liked that, and I actually liked the interactions between Dillinger and his girlfriend, played by Marion Cotillard, I'm sure.
I had no idea won the Oscar in 2007.
Yeah, for, what is it, La Vie en Rose. Yeah, the biopic about Edith Piaf, which is a decent movie.
You're
and
good
she's...
with the accent there.
I'm Thank you. Like, yeah. I did take French all through high school and junior
tell.
High, and yeah, it's impressive. but yeah, I mean, Johnny Depp doesn't give any sort of like inner life to Dillinger. You never get the sense of like, what are his motivations? Why does he rob banks? What is, I mean, are sure. we supposed to like him? I mean, obviously we're supposed to like him, but why should we like him? And all that kind of stuff I thought was lacking.
I felt like it was almost a little bit like a Clark Gable impersonation.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It's just very shallow. And I've never been the world's biggest Clark Gable fan, but just pat delivery and just not much going on behind the superficial or I guess the surface of his performance. And same thing with the Christian Bale, actually,
yeah.
even more so, though. He barely says anything in the movie, and I don't know. I'm starting to believe that Christian Bale is not that great of an actor.
Yeah, although I did appreciate, after having seen Christian Bale in the Terminator movie earlier this summer,
right.
where he just shouts and growls the entire time,
sure.
I appreciated the
okay.
modulation of the performance here.
By
but...
contrast. But yeah, but the thing is, it seemed as if he thought that he was emoting and letting us know a lot of things by being this strong, silent character, and really he was just kind of staring a lot.
Yeah, there's a lot of staring in
yeah,
this
lots
movie.
Of staring, lots of brooding, but not over anything in particular. We don't know anything about, literally anything about him except on the job.
Right.
And yeah, I just, you know, the girlfriend I really liked.
Yeah, I liked her. And I felt like some of their scenes together were well written and they had a good chemistry. And there's the one sex scene with them that I thought was shot very artfully. It's actually
right.
a lot like one with Colin Farrell in Miami Vice.
That's
that was
cool.
one of the better moments of that film. So... Yeah, but I mean, there is a spoiler alert again. At the end of the movie, there's a you know the title cards about here's what happened to the various people after the events of the movie,
right.
and you learn that Christian Bale's character, the real guy, he left the FBI a year later and he killed himself in 1960. And you think, what is going on with this guy?
Yeah.
And we don't get any of that in the movie.
No, none whatsoever. And although I felt like all of the secondary casting was very authentic looking, just like the suits and the guns
sure.
and the cars
yeah.
and the street scenes. They looked just straight out of a newsreel.
Yeah.
But they were all pretty interchangeable, and they didn't really say anything, and they didn't. There were no real secondary characters beyond the three or four principals.
Right.
And it just I don't know.
Yeah.
Just didn't get it.
I had a hard time figuring out who was who among Dillinger's associates, as well as among all the cops that are working for Christian Bale.
Right.
And there are a lot of recognizable or would be recognizable faces, I think, in the cast here that I didn't recognize at first. Stephen Dorff is there.
Right, barely.
And, right, barely. And Billy Crudup, who plays J. Edgar Hoover and looks very different.
Yeah, he looks so different I didn't recognize him at all. And honestly, I wasn't a big fan of that performance. It seemed almost – it wasn't quite a parody, but it was
– it was a little exaggerated.
Yeah, it was exaggerated and pointless.
Yeah.
I just didn't get it.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't want it to – I mean – it sounds like we really dislike this movie,
wow,
and I
yeah.
actually kind of liked it. I just think it had a lot of problems, but I think it does have – it has that grand ambition,
yes.
and I like that about it.
Extremely well shot.
Yeah.
The sound design's really good.
Yes.
The set design's really good. It's compelling all the way through. It's
yeah.
just a little dissatisfying because you get to the end, and it's like riding a train. You just get off. You don't get anywhere.
Right,
know?
Right.
So I don't know. Maybe – I guess you do get somewhere on
right,
but
well, you do get – that's true. Unless you rode a train in a circle, maybe.
Exactly.
You
it's like riding the monorail
the
and ending up exactly where you started, you know? I don't know. So
yeah, no, I agree, but I think there's still a lot of good stuff in there. And one other thing I do want to quickly mention is that the shooting style, while the shots themselves I think often look good, I think the man's choice to shoot this on HD video, which
right.
is his thing that he shot his last
yeah, you
few
can
movies.
See every pimple.
And I just think it looks wrong for a period piece. I thought it looked great. Collateral looks amazing.
Yeah.
And I thought it even worked in Miami Vice, where a lot of it looks kind of like almost degraded
sure. well,
and grainy.
It's a very modern technique.
Right.
And whenever you do, and I've had a problem with this before with like The Village.
Right.
Because I don't think you should have shaky camera in a period piece because it destroys the illusion, you know?
Right.
And so, I don't know. It worked in some things. It was good for the action stuff, I suppose, but there were some scenes where somebody's literally just kind of pacing in an apartment and you've got the shaky digital camera
yeah.
following them around, and I felt like it was more distracting.
Just,
cool.
Yeah, the way it looks, and especially I think when he goes in, they go into movie theaters and you see them watching newsreels from the period or when they're watching that Clark Gable movie, and you, I for me, I was thinking at least like, well, that's how this should look. It should look like a movie from that period, even though there's really no logical reason for that. I just feel like that's what would have...
So it's the appearance of authenticity.
Right.
That might bring you a little more into the movie rather than...
Yeah.
Than what he did do.
Yeah. So I don't know. I think despite all that, I gave this 3 out of 5 stars in my review, and I think it's worth seeing, especially if you like Michael Mann or Johnny Depp or anything.
Great shootouts.
Yeah.
Great shoot. And I would do 3 out of 5, too. I know, and it doesn't sound like I really liked it that much, but there were good things about it that are... The bread and butter of it is good. It's just the stuff that would have made it into a great movie is
right. It's definitely not great. Not on the level of something like Heat, which I love. So, okay, a completely opposite end of the spectrum.
Right.
Also opening this week over at the Village Square is a documentary called Food Inc. or Food Incorporated by Robert Kenner. And this is another in the very long line of advocacy documentaries about X thing is ruining the world.
Right.
And in this case, it is the corporate food industry that's ruining the world. And I honestly, I have a very low tolerance for movies like this.
Really?
And I do, which is probably an unfortunate prejudice on my part. But I feel like for the most part, first of all, these movies are often not very cinematic. Although this was, I think, an exception in a lot of ways. It actually was fairly... Yeah, it was very vivid. But in a lot of cases, they're really not. They're just sort of information delivery systems. I think a lot of cases, they're preaching to the converted. And furthermore, a lot of them are complaining without offering any sort of solution. And this movie, I think, overcame some of those issues.
Sure. It was a little more entertaining than... I don't know, though. It's interesting because I can't think of... In fact, I don't. I saw this on DVD.
Right. What as did
actually,
I
saw it as a screener.
Right.
So, and that seemed perfectly natural to me. I can't imagine going to a movie theater and sitting down and watching this thing. It was like
no.
an hour and 40 minutes long, something like that.
Like 90 minutes or something like that. Yeah. I mean, it's not too long.
Yeah.
But.
It's not crazy, but I don't know. I had such mixed feelings about this movie because there are certain things that I happen to agree with, but only happen to agree with. It didn't convince me of anything.
No.
And at the beginning, I was kind of dreading the fact that this was going to be another PETA gross-out movie where they go into the slaughterhouse and they try to freak you out as to, you know, how chickens have their heads cut off before they're killed,
Know,
or as they're killed. And, you know, how else do you think that
you
get meat? But, I don't know. There were some nice things in there. I found myself, there was this one, like, organic farmer that was succeeding and doing well, and I found myself thinking to myself, well, gee, I would really like to shop
more,
at this guy's farmer's market or whatever.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is I can't.
No.
And, you know, their solution was buy things that are grown locally. I don't know about you. I haven't really seen too many.
Yeah, it's tough in Las Vegas.
Yeah. I don't know. It just, it like you said, they're kind of preaching to the converted, and I just I don't know, and I also felt like they brought in, after about the first half of the movie, I was enjoying it, to tell the truth.
Yeah.
But then they kept piling on arguments, you know, they couldn't decide whether they were going to talk about how our food is processed or whether they were going to talk about why it was processed that way by these huge multinationals. There's apparently only 4 companies in the world controlling the entire United States food supply,
right?
Supposedly.
Yeah.
And, you know, the corn industry is actually in every single thing that you eat. Everything's made out of corn, you know, even batteries.
Yes.
And it's...
Which we don't eat, hopefully.
No. but it was okay. It was I found myself sitting leisurely on my couch eating potato chips thinking, well, yeah, that is bad. I wish there was something I could do about that.
Right, and that's I think the most frustrating thing about a lot of these movies is that if it gets you all riled up, which is kind of I think what it's supposed to do, and you're getting angry about how is this injustice happening, there's really no way to address that. And they do, I think, at least they show, like you were saying, that organic farmer or the one company that's actually getting into Walmart now that's dealing with organic food.
Which, did Walmart underwrite this movie? Because there was not a single negative word said about Walmart. They only praised them during this movie. And that's great. I haven't seen Walmart get good press in 15 years.
Right. Although I was a little unsure as to how they were meaning for you to take, like, that guy who owns the company who is going into Walmart.
Right.
They present his words sort of without comment, but I wonder how positive about him they're really meaning to be.
Sure. I mean, I didn't think that I don't know. I just noticed that there wasn't any negative.
That's
true. They weren't endorsing Walmart by
right.
any means, but they'd certainly, you know, I mean, Walmart's actually gotten some good press in the past because they hired, what was it, the president of the Sierra Club to oversee their green initiative
I don't know.
Or something.
Possibly.
Some really famous
yeah.
environmentalist is
yeah.
now like the president or vice president of their green initiative. And right. So they've been trying to do a lot of good things, but they've done a lot of bad things to get to where they are. And so I don't know. I don't know. Go on. I'm a loyal Walmart shopper, just in case they're listening right now. But I don't know. The movie, it was shot pretty well. It got kind of boring. I felt like after a little while, I should start taking notes as to the names. You know, I was thinking about this review, thinking, well, I won't be able to remember this farmer's name.
No, I don't remember it either. Yeah,
who had her contract canceled by Tyson because she let them in there?
Yeah,
or did she have her contract canceled before she let them in there and she was
disgruntled? Right. It seemed like it was canceled for a different reason.
Yeah, because she wouldn't put the screens in the windowless chicken houses to let them suffer and suffer and suffer.
Right. Yes. So there's the Tyson was said
chicken for all of us.
Need more suffering. So, yeah, I mean, I did think, though, I mean, it's so broad. It, like you said, it's a problem in a way because it can't decide what aspect of this story it's about. But on the other hand, I thought it was good that it did address a few things that I wasn't aware of. Things about, like, they talk about libel laws and how you can't publicly criticize certain companies.
Even Oprah.
Right, which was interesting to me. And the patents for the genetically engineered seeds that the farmers aren't allowed to use without paying for. Things like that I didn't really know a lot about, I did think was interesting. But some of this other stuff I think is rehashed, that we all know that E. coli is, in fact, I think I saw a news story today or yesterday about beef being recalled. I mean, that's
actually, I was at a local establishment that I'm not going to mention because I don't want to get bad press, but a really famous deli named after a guy whose name starts with J. Sorry. Anyway, but they weren't serving sprouts because of a recent outbreak. Right. I think it was salmonella, but you know,
still, right? These things happen often. So I don't know. I mean, I think in the spectrum of these movies, I liked it a little more than I thought I would, but I still think the people who make these movies need to address why are these being made and how can they be more effective and more movie-like.
What's the point in a theatrical release on this?
I mean, I assume it's to make some money, to sort of recoup the costs.
I was thinking maybe for the prizes. Like maybe if you win Best Documentary, too. That's true, you have to release it in theaters.
That is true, you do.
So I was trying to find the motivation because I thought to myself, I was like, well, you know, on the Discovery Channel, they could reach probably a much larger audience and they'll get there eventually.
Right.
But I didn't know the motivation. And it just, I don't know. I felt like I fulfilled my obligation for this podcast.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, that's a great feeling.
I really, really would never revisit it or would have probably never sought it out otherwise.
No, and I wouldn't either. And I don't think anyone should bother paying to see it in a theater. But I think if you have an interest in the subject matter, it might be worth a rental or checking out if it's on cable or PBS or whatever. So, I mean, I gave it also 3 out of 5 stars, but I think that maybe I was being a little generous. You would not.
See, it's funny. I actually was having a conversation with a mutual friend of ours, and she was commenting on how you hate everything. Josh Bell hates everything. And it seems like every time I do one of these with you, I'm actually far more negative about the movies than you are. And that makes me question, you know, myself.
We can rename it Brian Black Hates Everything.
Oh, I thought I liked some things, but apparently not.
Well, we liked Public Enemies, sort of. Yeah. So, okay, well, here, speaking of things that I hate, we can talk about coming up on DVD on Tuesday is this movie Knowing, starring Nicolas Cage. And before we started, we were discussing what we were going to talk about, and you mentioned that you had placed this on your Netflix queue.
Yeah, I had. And well, because it didn't look like it was worth going to the theater for. But I saw at least one really good review, although Roger Ebert has gone crazy.
Yeah, he thought it was the most brilliant thing ever.
He thought it was great. And I do like Alex Proyas.
Right,
That's how you pronounce that, right?
Yeah, sure, why not?
Anyway, but yeah, I'll watch probably anything that he does from now on just to see.
Really?
You know, just because of Dark City?
Yeah. Well, I think Ebert probably feels the same way because Ebert is in love with Dark City. He did a commentary on the Dark City DVD. That's how much he loves Dark City.
It was really good. It wasn't that good.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't seen it since it was first released in theaters, and I liked it at the time, but I mean, it's been a long time. But yeah, Knowing is a piece of crap.
Just
FYI.
Well, okay. First of all, you've got the Nicolas Cage effect. And even though, as an American, I'm required to like Nicolas Cage.
No, you're not. Yeah. I release you from this requirement.
I'm going to tell you, Nicolas Cage is so good 1/3 of the time. In 1/3 of his movies, I think he's great. Like, it's just when I get over Ghost Rider and how terrible, terrible, terrible that was, I'll watch Lord of War and realize what a great movie and what I thought it was a great performance.
He was good in that, yeah.
And so I'll come back for more, but man.
No, he's terrible in this movie. And just the line readings that make no sense where he pauses randomly in the middle of sentences. And I think the tough thing is that this movie is all about predictions of the end of the world, and he's trying to save the world, and he's trying to save his son from some sort of fate that I won't spoil, but the ending is unbelievably absurd.
Really?
Yes, it is ridiculous. But so he's serious, important stuff is going on here, and you can't take any of it seriously because Nicolas Cage is so far removed from being like a human person that I couldn't be like, oh man, he's really concerned about his son or whatever, because he's just like an alien or something.
Well, what's up with him? Is he on drugs or what?
I don't know. I don't know what his deal is, but I think he's just totally gone off the rails as an actor. And of course, his hair always looks ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, all these absurd hair pieces. You know, just be bald, man. Yeah. Come on. Just own it.
Bruce Willis has perfected the art of just relaxing and being bald.
Yeah.
And still being a bad
guy. Nobody minds.
Yeah.
Bruce Willis is bald. It's cool.
Yeah.
It's fine.
He's ten bald.
Yeah. Yeah. Travolta has the same problem. Ridiculous, ridiculous hair pieces.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it's just absurd. And it has a couple of cool action bits. If you rent it, you can watch. There's a train, collision or derailment or something that's pretty cool, a subway thing, and a bit where like a plane crashes into like the middle of a highway,
right.
And those were cool.
So the effects are okay.
The effects are okay, and those were like exciting action sequences. Rest of it, completely worthless.
Well, I'm looking forward to it.
So
it
yeah,
should be here in 2 days, or in 4 days.
All right. Well, let me know how that is.
Yeah. So that turns out I might disagree with you.
So that's true. It's possible.
Josh Bell hates everything,
and I did hate Knowing. So don't rent Knowing on DVD. Is my advice to everyone else. But do maybe check out Public Enemies in theaters this weekend.
Absolutely, 100% a recommendation for a rental when it comes out.
Yeah,
and you know the thing about it is I could see Public Enemies growing on you.
Yeah,
maybe there was some subtlety there that I just didn't appreciate at the time. But,
right.
I
think if you're inclined to want to see it, it's worth the trip to the theater.
Sure.
So yeah, there a hearty endorsement for that one.
Sure. If you get some like free movie passes.
Right. You have nothing else to do.
Say, for instance, you were trapped in a theater overnight and it was playing endlessly. You could at least look at the screen.
There you go. Yes, we'll give you permission for that. All right. My thanks to Brian Black for joining me this week, and for Las Vegas Weekly, I'm Josh Bell.
Josh Bell hates everything.
That's right, including your movie.
Josh Bell hates everything
except me.